A little background on Dr. Huesting is he's currently the Extramural Scientific Program Officer in CDC's Division of Informatics Practice, Policy, and Coordination. He has been involved within that division with the Centers of Excellence in Public Health Informatics, and these are centers that actually focus and support CDC priorities in the research area by not only managing grants but also getting involved in setting priorities for work that gets done and funded for research grants. The centers typically are innovative incubators for transformational public health informatics research, and each of the centers as it exists today is a supporting administrative core, along with taking on at least two research projects that evolve over time. Each of the centers, they emphasize collaboration and translation of results to practice, along with measurable public health impact. Recent research has focused on public health aspects of electronic health record systems, personally controlled health records, knowledge management, health promotion, decision support systems, and meaningful use. Dr. Huesting will talk a little bit more about the current activities at the Centers of Excellence and some of the actual research efforts that are currently going on and the future direction. Dr. Huesting.
Thanks, Katie. You just gave my talk. Which is fine. I don't think we'll run over 5 o'clock.
Okay.
I'll try to make sure that we don't.
You've got it. Okay.
I want to stray from the slides a little bit and give you some background on the Centers of Excellence. And Katie's aware of this, that the original Centers of Excellence, I believe, were established probably around 2005. At around the same time as the BioSense program,
mm-hmm.
and they were stood up very, very rapidly. It was a good idea. It was done very carefully. Everything was done by the book, and in retrospect, it was really remarkable how it was done. The Centers of Excellence are what are called PO1 grants, which are different from most of the other kinds of grants. They are not cooperative agreements. They do not allow for substantial involvement from the CDC. They are not the same as RO1 investigator-initiated grants, which normally run about 3 years. They have, as Katie summarized, at least two projects and an administrative core. And this all comes together to create a synergism that cannot ordinarily be achieved in any other way. And this creates a power, really, that other types of grants do not have. I came in after the original 5 centers were established, and I think they're listed a bit down. And they ran about 4 years, 5 years, and at that point the original grants expired, notice of awards, and there was considerable discussion about where to go next, and I would say not 100% agreement that these are complicated, they're expensive to do, they're a lot of work to put together, and part of the reason is that they have to be peer reviewed, and each applicant with its 2 projects, the core and overall, that's 4 pieces, has to be reviewed by 3 peer reviewers. And we had, I can't tell you exactly how many, but we had a whole lot of applications, probably in the neighborhood of 40. We eliminated maybe 10 of those as being non-responsive for one reason or another. And we were challenged, actually. This is not just rambling, this has a point. At that stage, somebody came forward and said, you're not gonna be able to do this. It's much too expensive. You're not gonna be able to do this peer review. and we should go back to R01 grants and not do this. It was discussed at fairly high level amongst a lot of very good informaticians and administrators at CDC. It was decided to go ahead with it with the proviso, and we were already just getting started, that on a weekly basis, every Thursday at close of business, I would submit a report about a page, that we were doing things by the book as far as following the rules, that we were making progress, that we actually did have good applicants and so on. And we eventually did have the peer review. It took a lot of time, and we had some very good candidate applicants. And we didn't really have enough money to fund all of them. We had enough money to fund four. There probably were more applications that were in the funding range. So we wound up funding four, which are the four that are active now. And I'll show you those in just a second. Dr. Wagner is director of the Pittsburgh Center. I don't know if anybody else. And I know Dr. Granis is here at the meeting from Indiana. So, but anyway, we funded four, and they're terrific. They're very, very good, and they're also fun people to work with. They're nice people to work with, which is not always the case. The actual funding opportunity announcement, which is the correct title for it, was reviewed by all kinds of people, including, again, some very good informaticians. And so a lot of the right information got put into the announcement. For example, collaboration, translation of products to research, and measurable public health impact. And that was really before some of that language was quite so common around here. So that was mandated, and they actually are required to have a written translation plan in their application. This preceded the CDC priorities, winnable battles, and so on by quite some time. Fortuitously, or because it was well crafted, they are supporting certainly the priorities. Some of them are supporting some of the winnable battles, probably notable. The most notable one being Harvard, which is working with diabetes, which relates to the winnable battle of nutrition and so on. This is all took place in a changing environment, and a lot of things were not put into the announcement. Now, the way the legal chain works is we put out the funding opportunity announcement. After extensive review, it's published. We then have the peer review. The applications are scored. A secondary review is held by the Scientific Review Council, and in this case, the four top ranking scores were funded. They get a notice of award, or notice of grant award, which is a legal document, so it goes from funding opportunity announcement to applications, the notice of award, and those are all legal documents. And the applications and the notice of award are confidential. They're locked up with procurement and grants office. And this is all important to know. At that time, about 4 or 5 years ago, the structure of CDC was somewhat different, and there was a CDC-wide Office of Public Health Research, with the idea that there would be a firewall that would prevent conflict of interest between intramural and extramural, which is always a consideration. And anyway, the Centers of Excellence came to rest, where they are now in DIPPC. I've already said this, they support the priorities, including improving support to states and localities, strengthened surveillance and epidemiology, global health, and so on. Pittsburgh has strong relationships with Allegheny County and with the state and so on. They're doing very supportive work in surveillance and epidemiology. When I see what Dr. Wagner's group can do on a desktop, I'm just green with envy. compared to when I was at Pittsburgh as a graduate student. They do contribute to national efforts to enhance meaningful use, which also was not really a consideration at the time, and they support all these other things. And you will see, if you look through the program, you will see that some of the Center of Excellence staff are working. They're involved with CDC stakeholders and on such things as reportable condition mapping table. They have logged in a lot of accomplishments. Of the current four Centers of Excellence, two were among the original batch of five, and those are Harvard and Utah. And so Harvard and Utah now are running up towards 5 or 6 years. I don't know the exact time, but they've logged in quite a lot of time. And if you count each year as a data point, they're well along toward where things can be measured. The other centers, Indiana and Pittsburgh, are doing great work as well, although partly because they've been in business for a long time, they're already experts, recognized experts. Some of the accomplishments, translation, the division has an internet site which is frequently visited. On that is much more information about the Centers of Excellence, and we've had 9 webinars which were interrupted for a little while. We're hoping to resume those. Those webinar slides are available on the internet site, and really I think started in the Rocky Mountain Center in Utah, but then fostered by Pittsburgh and Indiana. There's this thing that took me a while to figure out that the acronym for this spells coffee. So they have a little coffee cup as their symbol. I'm kind of slow. It took me a while to catch on to that. But anyway, they had a meeting here. Dr. Wagner and Dr. Gibson and Dr. Wu presented papers today, and then tomorrow morning at 7, they're having a business meeting, I believe that's an open meeting. And that's been a major, I think, a major accomplishment, because too often with grants, and especially with center grants, that they don't have initiative, they don't have sustainability, they may not be connecting with communities. So this has really blossomed in a year, in the other area, some of the other areas, measurable impact. I'll pick on Harvard again, although they're not the only one. They're one of the original ones, and they have demonstrated using their ESP program in a Cleveland hospital, where they've shown reduced costs and improved diagnostic efficiency. They have a social network working on diabetes that's received wide coverage and that is highly innovative. One of the obvious things is that diabetes is not only a winnable battle indirectly, but it's a chronic disease. It's not an infectious disease where a lot of the effort has been going. We're working on a special issue in the online journal of Public Health Informatics, and we have a abstract and a manuscript, I think, from each, at least two, we have two manuscripts, actually, from each of the centers. If you get a chance to look at the virtual conference for this meeting, which I strongly urge you to do, Centers of Excellence were a use case for that, and I was the first one to do a video for that, and it was so bad they're going to do it over again. So the point being that they are acting in some of these areas. They have attracted funding on their own in various other areas. Sharp's Beacon from the Office of Native National Coordinator. And one of the areas that we're working on is data sharing, and they are generally very generous about data sharing. As I mentioned, the original materials are sealed. you really can't get the original applications even with a FOIA, which makes people uncomfortable sometimes. The published materials, of course, are wide open, and it's the area in between. There's a gray area where my personal take is that the unpublished materials are at the discretion of the center director and the center staff. The original five centers of excellence, and they're listed down below, had a very, very impressive total of publications and presentations during that funding period, and they continue to be leaders in the United States, Johns Hopkins, Washington, and New York, Columbia. Those I just mentioned, those are the ones we have now. Now, the way the PO1 grants work is that they are intended to be funded for 5 years, and they have submitted their non-competing continuation applications. Those have been reviewed. I have judged them to be suitable. They would normally be coming up for a third year of funding out of the five. They're in the last less than 2 weeks, there have been problems that have come up about funding, questions about whether they will in fact be funded fully for the future. Then I'll come back to that. It's important. Some of the things, and Katie, you have basically read some of these out of the abstract. Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare was one of the original ones, and they, as I mentioned, they've done a lot of work with diabetes. They're doing some very advanced things, and I'm not going to read all this stuff. There's a session tomorrow afternoon from, I think, 3:30 to 5, where the four Centers of Excellence directors will present. And if you're interested in knowing more about Centers of Excellence, I would urge you to sit in on that. I've already mentioned Rocky Mountain Center, which is doing some very fine advanced research. And they also, I think, really can be credited for being the starting point of the community of innovation, or community of innovators. Indiana, these are just my naive takes on some of these things, are doing very interesting work with newborn screening and enhanced reporting. What's most impressive to me as an epidemiologist is the massive amount of data that they process every day. I think it's in the neighborhood of 500,000 records. Dr. Wagner's here, and if I don't do justice, he can speak up. But they have been doing some very advanced things with Bayesian diagnostics. They work very, very closely with a number of collaborators, including Allegheny County, and Dr. Wagner's not only a good scientist, but he's a very entertaining individual. His talks are always fascinating. He told a little story today about somebody in Peru who didn't think that little bacteria actually caused disease, which resonates with me. What next? Well, we are resuming or have resumed conference calls. We really came to a halt for a while with the reorganization. We are planning, we are hoping to have the next webinar in October. We have problems, logistic problems, with the software and so on that we had, and we resolved those. We are getting more deeply involved with OSLs. Dr. Foldy is taking an active role. Dr. Nedra Garrett, and Dr. Jim Bueller, and one of the things that this presents an opportunity for is comparative evaluation. We basically have two centers that have been funded all along, Harvard and Rocky Mountain. We have two centers that are funded in the current group, Pittsburgh and Indiana, and then we have three centers that were funded in the first batch but not funded in the second go-around. So, again, I've already started working on that. I do have some experience with program evaluation. I would say these centers, just as an aside, are the most fun I've ever had in public health. Great people to work with. It's very challenging. It's very complex, brilliant scientists. So we're gearing up. We have some publications in the works. We're working on an evaluation. And we have been talking actively about synergies between Center of Excellence and CDC. Now, it comes back to this firewall issue that I mentioned, conflict of interest, that everybody wants to collaborate. No question of that. How does one collaborate without creating a conflict of interest? And that's a thorny problem, and we're working around that. I would say people of goodwill are able to do that. And so we have actually been talking actively about how to foster some of these collaborations. Now, I'll jump over this. I'm just repeating myself. 2 weeks ago today, I was at a planning meeting where I was reasonably assured that funding would be forthcoming. And then the following Wednesday, I was told no, that there will be a severe cutback. The good news, I guess, if it's good news, is that there will be some new funding, which allows them to continue for another year. If they don't get any new money, then they go to a no-cost extension. They burn up what they have, and they're out of business. End of story. If they get even a modest amount of new money, it allows them to continue for another year. Hopefully things will get better. They're talking about a 90% reduction. These centers, off the record, get about $1 million each, more or less. That means they would have about 100,000. If you figure they each have two projects and a core, divided into $1 million, then the projects and the cores are probably averaging 300,000 plus. So 100,000 for the whole center is not going to go very far, but it would at least facilitate some activity and there are discussions now about how to deal with all that. The centers currently expire their grants August 31st. I'm extremely eager that these continuations get signed for whatever amount is available, and then we will regroup. These grants, as with any grants, belong to the institution. They do not belong to the investigator. They do not belong to CDC. The Pittsburgh Center of Excellence grant belongs to the University of Pittsburgh. And Dr. Wagner is the principal investigator, and he has virtually total control over that within certain boundaries. But again, these are not... Somebody said recently, these are not kids playing in a sandbox. There are rules, regulations. As the project officer, I try to facilitate what they're doing. I also try to make sure that they stay in bounds. And so that's where that is right at the moment. And I think this is the next to last slide, probably. What happens if the centers are shut? Well, resources go away. There would be some staff would have to be unemployed. Some existing collaborations would simply fizzle out. There's a lot of research that's in progress that would not get finished. A lot of future plans. They cannot possibly function on $100,000 a year, except that keep the lights on sort of level. So from my point of view, it would be a disaster because these have been going now. Harvard and Utah, as I say, probably about 6 years at about $1 million a year, plus or minus, plus all of the human equity and the brain power and accomplishments. Plus, my prejudice as an epidemiologist is that you can't finish things always in 2 or 3 years. There's some projects just really need 5 years. So anyway, we had this competitive announcement. We spent a lot of time and money to do it properly. The applications were super. We've been getting reports, and I'm campaigning very openly to try and recapture funding for the centers, but in the meantime, to capture this small amount of money that's out there and get those grants processed. Any questions?
Questions for Dr. Houston?
You mentioned you have a background in program evaluation, and I just wondered, in your job right now, do you have some metrics in mind? Do you build it into the grant? Like, how do you?
I think the answer is yes. That first of all, and some people would argue this is a bias, that I know more about the Centers of Excellence than probably anybody. I'm quite possibly the only person that understands them at certain levels. But it's all been objective. It's all documented. It's not like I got up one morning and did something silly. My background in evaluation personally goes back farther than I want to admit, but I was at the University of Pittsburgh some decades ago and led a team that was doing an evaluation of what was then called programs for school-age parents, which is a euphemism, but they were interesting because they were complicated. They were working with young parents-to-be, and normally they had a nutritionist, a physician, a social worker, an educator, and so on. And they all had a different idea about what they should be doing, what their priorities were. And so, again, many, many moons ago, I led a team that put together one of the original evaluation manuals. There were about 3,000 copies distributed around the U.S. for free. And at the time, there really wasn't a whole lot. One of my ideas, I've already talked to Harvard about it, is to possibly start with Harvard, because they have 5 or 6 years going in, and we have, it's not like we don't have any metrics. We have some measurable things. Are they collaborating? With whom? How much? Are they translating? Do they have publications and so on? Are they disseminating? And is there a measurable public health impact? And all of them have that to some extent. Now, Dr. Wagner has put together an extremely elegant evaluation plan that would require 5 years, I think, to carry out properly. But that's already on the table. Excuse me. So we actually have... If you go all the way back to the funding opportunity announcement, it specifies what they were supposed to do. And then they picked projects from a cafeteria list, and then it basically set out some criteria. The metrics, I think, are arguable. But anyway, yes, I do have a plan, and I've talked with the Senate about it, and I've talked with Dr. Chappell here at CDC about it a little bit, it's definitely doable. If they are reduced to that level of funding, then I don't know what happens. Mm-hmm.